Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promise to David. See, I have made a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay, friends, let's pray together. Dear Lord, we are so thankful we can be here on this beautiful winter day. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. Thank you that you have planted each and every one of us here. Thank you when you are so patient with us, Lord, when we do not live the way you would have us live or show your wonderful love to others. Help us, Lord, to produce much fruit, that fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Help us always, Lord, to be the trees that produce that wonderful fruit, your love to all we meet. And we ask these things in your name. Amen.
And our gospel lesson this morning, continuing on with our lessons in the parables of Jesus. Today we hear from the gospel according to Luke in the 13th chapter. We're reading together verses 1 through 9. As we read this together, listen for what the Word of God is saying to you in your lives, in your circumstances today, whatever they may be. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." The gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, we have come here today for many reasons, not the least of which we hope is that we long to hear a message from you. So open us now, quiet our thoughts, quiet our hearts to listen and hear the words you have in store for us today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So, do bad things happen to people because of their actions? There have been Christians throughout history who have argued that this is the case, to much heartbreak. I remember a few years ago when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, and Pat Robertson, think of him what you will. But he went on his television show and claimed that it was because of the sin of the city of New Orleans, because of all of the bead throwing and drinking and revelry that was going on there. That is the reason why they were hit with this storm. It's the question that these disciples of Jesus are asking him at the beginning of today's story. Apparently, there was a story going around about how Pilate, who we will hear more about in Luke's gospel, about how Pilate does something particularly cruel to the Jews who are offering sacrifices in Jerusalem, killing them and mixing their blood with the blood of the animals that they were sacrificing to God. It was something completely cruel, which was probably rather common in that time. The Roman Empire is well known for its cruelty. In addition to giving us democracy, they also were incredibly cruel to those who were not their own citizens. And so they ask Jesus about this. Now, undoubtedly, the disciples that were asking this were thinking about those people and thinking to themselves, well, maybe it was something they did. Maybe they had offended God in some way, and that's the reason why this cruel thing happened to them. And Jesus asks a question. Do you think that those people were worse sinners than those who were not killed? And then Jesus mentions another news story about how a tower apparently fell in Siloam, killing 18 people, something that would certainly make the front page of our newspapers. And Jesus asks, do you think that those 18 people were worse sinners than the others who were standing around who were not killed? To answer the question, Jesus says, no, they weren't. But unless you repent, then you will perish also. It's a good question, and it's a question that Christians and Jews have been wrestling with for, well, all of history, really. When something bad happens, we think to ourselves, well, maybe I could have done something different. 3 feet of snow falls on Boston, and you think, gee, maybe the Patriots shouldn't have let 1 pound of air out of the footballs. Chris? So, to illustrate this, Jesus tells a parable. It's a great parable. I love the parables, if you can't already tell. So, where do you find your place in the story? Jesus says, there was a man who owned a vineyard, right? And in this vineyard, he had planted a fig tree. Now, notice that. It's a vineyard, right? And what are vineyards good for? Grapes and wine, right? That is how people make their money off of vineyards. And also oil. They'll also have usually olives planted there as well, right? So olive oil, grapes, wine. So why would an owner of a vineyard plant a fig tree? Anyone have any ideas? He likes figs. For his own pleasure. So he plants this fig tree in his vineyard, and he goes out walking every day for 3 years. And every time he walks by this fig tree, looks, he examines it, and he finds that it just is not bearing fruit. So this thing that the man has planted for his own pleasure has instead become for him a source of great distress, right? He's planted it for his own enjoyment, and it's given him nothing but trouble. So he says to the person who cares for his vineyard and cares for this tree, he says, I'm sick of looking at this thing every day. Cut it down. Why should it take up space if it's not going to bear any fruit? And that's a good question. Have you ever thought that about something that you were trying to do? I've mentioned before, I think that the only reason I would have a green thumb is if I dipped it in a can of paint. I'm terrible at growing things, right? If you want a plant to die, bring it to my house, put it under my care. If you want your garden to be gone, ask me to come and take care of it for you. My grandfather was a wonderful gardener. He passed none of that down to me, try as he may have done. But this caretaker, he knows something about the way that things work. So he says to the man, he says, patience. He says, don't cut it down. Give me more time with it. I'll dig around it. I'll fertilize it. Let's wait another year. And then, if it still doesn't bear fruit, then you can cut it down. Do with it what you will. So how does the story end? It just ends, right? He gets another year and ... Does it bear fruit? Who knows? That's right. Maybe there are fig Newtons this year and maybe there are not. Maybe he cuts it down. So what's the point of a story with no ending, right? We all want the happy ending. We want to hear, and the next year the fig produced fruit and everyone had Newtons and everyone was happy, right? But we just don't know. And isn't that the way our lives are? Aren't our lives an unwritten story? We don't know how things are going to end. And I think sometimes our outlook on life is a bit like the owner of the vineyard, right? Who, the things that we want to take pleasure in that are not giving us pleasure, our knee-jerk response is just to cut it off, to get it out of our lives, right? The people in our lives that frustrate us, maybe our neighbors, maybe our brothers and sisters, or our parents, or our sons and daughters, or who knows, right? The people who give us frustration, the people who we look at and say, man, you are nothing but a source of frustration in my life. Our knee-jerk reaction is to cut those folks out, to say, you know what? Be gone. If you're not bearing fruit, then what good are you? But isn't it a good thing that that isn't the way that this story ends? It'd be a pretty lame story, wouldn't it, if the caretaker said, okay, chop it down, plant something else instead. But Jesus is telling us something about the kingdom of God, the way that God works. Who do you suppose the fig tree is in our story today? Ruth may have given us a hint during the children's sermon. It's us, right? We are like fruit trees that God has planted in this world, not because he needs us to make money. That's what the vines and the branches and the grapes are for. But the fig trees are just there for delight, right? Because God wants to delight in us. And too often, we don't bear the kind of fruit that God is looking for. God walking through the garden, and we're hiding, just like Adam and Eve. because we've disobeyed, because we're not bearing fruit the way that God has designed us to bear fruit. And what do you do with a tree that doesn't bear fruit? You cut it down, throw it away, and you plant something else. Unless there's someone else who comes and stands in the way and says, not yet, not yet. Give me some time. Let me do some work here. Maybe the soil is bad. You know, I'll dig around it. I'll put some fertilizer in it, right? Love how the NIV translates this word fertilizer. I can tell you in the Greek, the word is not fertilizer. If you've ever been to a farm, you've seen fertilizer. You've smelled fertilizer. This is not the stuff that you go and buy at the Home Depot that smells like chemicals. No, this is good old salt of the earth manure. Dead stuff. The caretaker takes the dead stuff and mixes it in, changing the soil in some way, affecting it down at the root level. We don't like talking about the dead stuff. We don't like manure in our lives. In fact, we have enough money, we pay someone else to take care of it for us. Right? The farm, the landowner, he doesn't scoop his own manure, he's got someone else to do it. Mixing it in. And out of death comes the possibility of new life. We have a caretaker. Someone who sees our lives not for what they are, but for what they could be. Taking the manure of our lives and mixing it in with everything else to create the possibility of something new, something surprising. One of the real truth statements about many of these parables is that the only way to new life is through death. If we think about the different parables we've heard of Jesus and the ones that will be coming up over the next couple of weeks, something that runs through them is the powerful understanding that death brings forth new life. Whether it's seeds that are planted in the ground that have to die in order to spring forth new life, or whether it's manure being spread around the roots of a tree to produce new life, all of it pointing to the powerful knowledge that death springs forth new life. So what is it that Jesus is really saying to us? What is the dead stuff that when mixed in with the roots brings forth new life? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, right?
Jesus.
That's right. The one who took on death for us and took our old sinful selves to death with him. And then on the third day, rose again, bringing forth new life and bringing forth the possibility in all of us of new life as well. How does the story end? Well, I don't know. But I believe, and I hope you do too, that when we embrace the death of Christ as our own, and when we allow our old selves to die off so that our new selves can raise in its place, and trees that never produced a single piece of fruit before can begin to produce fruit. and the destruction of that tree can be held off for another year. That's the power of the kingdom of God at work. Even when everyone else is ready to write us off, there's one who says, give me a little more time. Let's see what I can do. Let's see if this tree can produce fruit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for your patience with us. All of the times that we mess up, all of the times that we fail to follow through on the things that we were designed for, the ways that we stubbornly refuse to produce the fruit that you have empowered us to. We ask for your forgiveness and continued patience with us, and give us your spirit to have that same patience with others, to give others an opportunity to change as well. Not to write them off, not to cut them off, but instead to believe as you believe that we can be saved, that there's potential in us to produce that which seems so far off now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.